Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into our audience in Richmond, AM 910, FM 105.1. Everybody else been listening on the flagship, 106.7 The Fan. We're taking you up to 6:30 in the district tonight, all over the DMV. The Commanders are looking to draft their generational QB soon. Don't forget to think about your next generation. As the exclusive sponsor for Grant and Danny, the show, the law firm of Kondorian Murad, is going to guide you and your family in the right direction. They're going to help you draft your will, set up a trust, and create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them G&D sent you. Score yourself a discount. kmlawyers.com. We've got tickets to Game 3 Caps Rangers. That's the first home game Friday night in the Best of 7 series. We're going to give those away in 1 hour ahead of the Blitz right at 4 o'clock. But we are fired up right now. It is a massive week in town, a gigantic week for the show. And our buddy Charles Davis, you see him all over NFL Network during the draft coverage. He is, of course, an analyst on CBS as well during Sundays. Fired up to talk to him about this draft class. Charles, happy draft week, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys today?
Always good, man. This is a good week to have you on. Any week is, but especially this one. Where does this draft really start for you, Charles? You know what I mean? We kind of know it's almost in Sharpie at one. I don't know how you feel about two, but what do you think kind of the first big variable is?
Yeah, I feel like four is where it kind of starts. But listen, I'll put it this way. If Coach Belichick was still in New England, it would start at three. Because with him, you know, we always kept waiting for them to trade back, make moves, do things, you know, that sort of a deal. Although, let's be frank about it, how much experience did we have him drafted at three? So we just never saw that part, right? That just wasn't really part of their equation. But, you know, when he drafted low in the first round, it was always, oh, they're going to trade down, trade back, get out of the first round, that sort of deal. That's kind of the deal. But I just kind of feel like with New England, even though you don't do things quote-unquote, with the fans in mind. Does that make sense? Like, you know, if you're drafting to please the fans, you're probably going to be doing a lousy job, and you're probably not going to be doing it for very long. But at the same time, you're an organization that needs a fresh start. You've got a new head coach. You've got a new way of doing things, and you need a quarterback desperately. And at three, you've got a chance to get one of those top quarterbacks. I just feel like they should stick at three and make their pick. But of course, they would say back to me, well, we have to be convinced we like these guys, and I get that part. But I'm kind of assuming that they will like one of those top quarterbacks. So to me, it kind of starts at four with Arizona, but Arizona seems to be open for business. So who will be the team that comes in and takes that spot at four if indeed someone does? And I think Los Angeles Chargers would like to get out of five if they could. So, you know, it just keeps moving its way on down. But it's all because of what quarterbacks or top receivers someone might come up and get.
Charles, when you say at four, is that because you think one way or the other the two QBs go in those two picks, or because you're pretty confident Washington goes Daniels and then May goes to New England?
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling like it's 1-2-3. How it comes off the board, obviously we'll find out starting Thursday night. I've got to turn in my last mock tomorrow, and I just – finished up my sixth permutation of it. So it just tells you where I am on how these things look and what my confidence level is. And truthfully, the closer we get to a draft every year, the less I feel like I know how it's going to go down. That's just it. Just how it happens for me all the time. I'm not an insider, okay? I can't do the job the insiders do, and I don't want to. Those people work tirelessly and are incredible at what they do. I'm not spending a ton of time talking with GMs and player personnel people and all that, because I feel like for me, that comes much more during the season than I'm going to be spending that time. What my role is with the draft is to know as much as possible, but other people are doing more of that. So sometimes that's a detriment for a person like me trying to do a mock. And then sometimes I feel like throw on my blindfold, give me my darts and my dartboard, and I might come out with essentially the same percentage.
Who do you think goes second to Washington, Charles, and who would you take? Is it the same answer?
I'm leaning towards Jaden Daniels, too. I'm hearing all this smoke about he was upset about, you know, his visit and he wants to get out and all those things. And it might very well be true. But at the moment, I'm treating it as the normal as we get closer to the draft smoke. And I'll give you a quick example. Last year, did the momentum just keep building that Will Levis would go in the top five? I mean, as we got closer and closer, it just kept going, going, going. And, you know, he was at the draft last year. And next thing you know, he's getting a phone call to go to the Tennessee Titans. But he was back home because it was the second round and he missed it in the first. It happens. But I do feel like in this one, it feels like 1-2-3. Obviously, Caleb Williams is pretty much locked in. The league has just politely asked Chicago not to do a contract with him until after we do this, because, you know, it looks like we have some semblance of suspense. And I think that when we get to draft night, the funny thing is, how long will it take them to turn in the card with Caleb Williams' name? Because they could very well, Commissioner Goodell could gavel it in and say, you know, Chicago Bears are now on the clock, and they could walk back right, turn around, walk right back, and go Chicago Bears to look Caleb Williams.
Oh, you know it's going to tick all the way down to zero.
Yeah, they're going to take their time.
And I wonder who's asked them to do that. let me guess. But, you know, after we do that, the suspense, in a sense, starts at two, because we've got to figure out who the number two, who's going to go at two. And I think about a week ago, it felt like all the momentum was totally Jaden Daniels. Doesn't feel that way right now. There's been enough doubt cast out there that people are starting to jump and move and look, but I'm still looking at Jaden Daniels. I said it before, I'll say it right here. Dan Quinn is the new head coach. He's going to get a vote. Obviously, Adam Peters gets the final vote, but Dan, I think, will lobby pretty hard in favor of a Jaden Daniels, because defensive coordinators, I've been around them enough now, quarterbacks like Jaden Daniels are the ones that keep them up tonight at most. Keep them up at night most of the time, because of that ability to not just run and pick up first downs, but to run and really dice you up. He's as close to Lamar Jackson as Lamar coming out without being Lamar. He's that close.
Charles Davis with us here on Grant and Danny. So philosophically, Charles, let's say that this is Jaden Daniels. Convoluted question coming here, but hopefully yeah. You'll be able to pick it apart.
I'll try and follow. Hold on a second. I remember I went to an SEC school, so go slow.
All right,
get
here
your
we go.
Pen out.
So
and
early,
it's not, and it's not Vanderbilt.
That's one of the other guys. Early on, you could probably have more success saying that it is Daniels by saying, "Hey, man, let's 12 to 15 times a game have some design runs, right? Just what the offensive move. We could sort of do that." Philosophically for you, is that best long-term to give a guy a little taste of success, even if it's not the thing that you want him to major in 2-3 years down the line? Or are you a, I don't care if you got floaties on, dude, deep end, let's go, run the NFL offense as we want you to run it, and if playmaking happens, it happens?
I like the question. I do think it's much more leaning towards the first without it being 12 to 15 times, only because he's 207 pounds.
Yeah.
All right, at least he's a legit 207. Bryce Young, who I was really high on last year, and I still remain that way. I want a bigger sample before I put him on that bus. You know, everybody wants to go ship him out now. Should have taken C.J. Stroud. They played head-to-head last year, and Bryce won that game in Carolina. so let's not totally finish that one off yet. Let's just see. But Bryce was definitely 204 pounds of water weight. Like, we figured that out pretty quickly. Like, he went to the scale and was standing there doing that little dance we all do while we're waiting for the guy in front of us to finish in the restroom, right? Okay, 204, you got it? Woohoo! And off he went. Daniels is much more legit 207. Like, he's kind of played at that weight. But 207 is still 207. He could stand to be a little bit bigger and smarter about how he runs. They can't let him take the hits that he's taken before. But you give him a little taste of sugar along the way as he learns all the rest of it. And, guys, how many years now have we watched NFL offenses crash and morph more towards what this kid did coming out of college, at least in the beginning, than it ever has before? And I'm going to tell you where I trace it to. The strike year, where we had no OTAs, mini camps, off season, right? All that stuff. Cam Newton went one. Andy Dalton went in the second round. Other people. And Cam went 400-400 game one. Andy Dalton took his team to the playoffs. Why? Because both of those teams kind of met them where they live coming out of college and then worked in the other stuff.
Charles, I don't know when this began, but pretty frequently when we ask people about Drake May now, we're hearing and seeing he might not be ready week one. I don't know when that started, but it's just becoming almost a prevailing thought.
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
I feel like every year one of those quarterbacks is going to take the hit, right? Levis actually took some of that hit last year. And then as we got closer and closer, that kind of went away. And then when he went in the second round, it kind of came back again, didn't it? Would he be ready? Did he have certain injuries? Was he showing traits that weren't quite the same? Blah, 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 blah. It happened. I don't know exactly why. I know that I've been around Drake May on multiple occasions. I'm not going to sit here and tell you we're best friends. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I've been to the house. I'm not going to tell you any of those things. Let me talk about being in situations where, as an adult, you get to observe a young man. And I like this kid. I think he's terrific. I think he's more than solid. Like, he's just like, wow, I like this young man. I get it. The idea that he won't be ready could come from the fact that he's a redshirt sophomore and had the 2 years in North Carolina. We've had redshirt sophomores come in before. I just think that it's okay if you want to bring him along slowly if you have a viable alternative. And that's one of the reasons why I think New England would be really bullish on wanting to take him, because they brought back Jacoby Brissett to operate an offense off of a roster that, barring an unbelievable, miraculous infusion of talent, looks really bad again to start next year. All right? I mean, you guys have seen the New England roster. It's almost shocking, isn't it? You're like, New England?
Well, I said about a half hour ago, I don't know if this is a hot take or what, I actually feel terrible for whoever goes there. I think it's a...
It might be a struggle.
Like, doomed
it's
is strong,
be, it's
but
be tough.
It's a nightmare. Yeah. Like, I would be praying that they don't take me if I'm one of these guys.
It's going to be tough, and I don't know exactly how it rates versus – let's go back a bit. Remember when Matt Ryan came out? You remember the big debate was, should the Falcons even waste taking a quarterback at three because the roster's so bad?
Mm-hmm.
They should take Glenn Dorsey, the big defensive tackle from LSU. You remember that?
I mean,
that was a monster debate. Monster debate. Well, Tom Dimitroff was a young GM then. And little did people know he was headed towards winning a couple of NFL Executive of the Year awards. What he did, and this is why I can't say what the whole roster was with Atlanta versus New England. I suspect Atlanta's was a little bit better, but it was still not expected to be a playoff roster. He drafted Matt Ryan at three. I can't remember if he came back into the first round. I think he did, late in the first round, and picked up Sam Baker, the left tackle from USC. Remember him? He was a tackle before Jake Matthews. And in free agency, he signed Michael Turner, who had been a backup running back in San Diego. And, yes, it was San Diego then, so this time I can say it. and made him their starting runner. And you remember how well Turner played for them. And gave him a nucleus and some help, a running game right off the top, a left tackle to help try and protect him. And I'll be darned, they went 11-5 in the first year. Now, I'm not saying three moves made it all happen. There was more than that. But if New England's able to parlay the right moves, you can bring a quarterback along without everything being abysmal.
Skill set-wise, between May and Daniels here, Charles, relate that to what Cliff Kingsbury has done and maybe you think he wants to do here on offense. Who do you think might fit best?
Really good question, because what Cliff Kingsbury did with the Arizona Cardinals is what rings in our minds, right?
Mm-hmm.
They hired him and drafted Kyler Murray at the same time, essentially, right? So now you're looking like, okay, this is the prototype of what Cliff Kingsbury wants to do and what he has. here's my counter. I'm not saying that's wrong, because obviously they did it, and they went to the playoffs 1 year. People have forgotten that, but they did. Cliff Kingsbury played in a similar structured offense. Obviously, everything's not the same air raid at Texas Tech offense in the NFL. You got to do a few things differently, but the structure's similar. Cliff was a 3-year starter at Texas Tech under Mike Leach. Then after him came guys by the name of Sonny Cumbie, B.J. Simmons, Cody Hodges, Graham Harrell, and all of them threw for like 5,000 yards a year in college. Many of them were fifth-year starters, fifth-year seniors, one-year starters. Here's my point. Not a single one of them, and you guys call me if someone could produce some game tape, that any one of them was a true running threat, because none of them were. I saw them with my own eyes. I did a lot of those college games. I did a bunch of Texas Tech games. They were throwers with enough ability to maneuver and manipulate the pocket, but they were not guys that you said like Dan Quinn would not sit up at night on the defense side of the ball and go, well, we got to worry about the quarterback run game with these guys. That was never a part of it. And the offense hummed and it moved. Jim Kelly in the USFL, remember the Houston Gamblers? They were a pure run-and-shoot team under Mouse Davis and John Jenkins and that crew. How many times did you think that anyone in Houston or in Buffalo thought to themselves, let's put in some quarterback runs for Jim Kelly? Never. My point being, any quarterback who makes good decisions, accurate with the football, decisive in what they're doing, seeing things on time, can run that offense. It does not have to be a guy with flash and dash, although if you get both, now you're ahead of the game. That's why I think a lot of people are feeling like Jaden Daniels, and I think Cliff Kingsbury likes Jaden Daniels. But could Drake May run this offense? Without question in my mind. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it occur. And by the way, all the other guys, without me impugning them, the Texas Tech quarterbacks, not a single one of them would have been rated next to Drake May. Okay? So it's not like they produced offense, smart with the football, skillful, accurate. You get all that in a package, you can run Cliff Kingsbury's offense.
Looking forward to seeing Charles Davis breaking down the NFL draft. He's joining us here for a couple more moments on Grant and Danny. I want to know about the tackle position, because, Charles, you know Washington needs a left tackle.
Yeah.
They've got
yeah.
36 and 40, and there's some thought maybe that someone could fall into their lap. But if Peters wanted to pair those picks and go up in the middle of the first round, I'm wondering, is there any chance that Fashanu from Penn State or Latham from Alabama, Fuaga from Oregon State – like one of those guys could fall out of the top 13, 14, or are those guys probably going early?
No, I think that there's a possibility. I mean, look, it's a very top-heavy offensive tackle group, meaning the top-rated offensive tackles, that's the grouping. The next group, there's a gap in terms of rating, but they're going to go, but they won't be in the first round, right? Once you start getting in the second, third round, you'll find others, but they won't have nearly the stars next to their name as these guys, right? But I do think the true run at tackles might start in that area you're talking about, 13, 14, 15, and run into the 20s. You know, there might be like a 17 through 22 run that there, guess what? Here's your tackle run. So, yeah, if they wanted to package something together and get somewhere in the middle of the first round, I think they could be in good shape to get one of those guys. It'd be very interesting to me to see which one is the first one off the board. And people have to decide how they feel about Troy Fatanu from Washington. He has the length to play left tackle where he played at Washington. I know a lot of people projected him inside. But if you're Dallas and you took Troy Fatanu and you've stated that you really want to leave Tyler Smith at guard, I think Fatanu can play left tackle for you. I don't think it's a total stopgap measure either. I think he truly can play there. Graham Barton, the left tackle, at Duke that we want to kick inside this guard or center, probably center. That makes more sense. I actually talked to some people at Duke and they've told me he can get you out of a ball game at left tackle, but his future's inside. That's how they feel about him. I think with Fatanu, I think that's a little bit different. So that's why I'm wondering how people feel about him. But if you talk about Latham, you talk about Fashanu, you talk about Fuaga, who's going to be the first one off the board, and does it trigger the run then? Or does the run come about where I'm projecting somewhere around 15, 16 and take you into the 20s?
Charles, I always love your annual pound the table for prospects that you do with NFL.com. Give me a guy maybe from that group, but also just in general, I always like to ask you, who's your favorite player in this draft? Forget about maybe not necessarily the best or you know, otherwise, just a guy that puts a smile on your face when you turn on the tape.
Well, I'll just take him from my group and Cole Bishop, the safety out of Utah. Like I said in the thing, you know, I'm going to go Bills Mafia with him. I'm not going to pound the table. I'm going to come through the table like the Bills Mafia.
Flaming table too, Charles.
Right? And please let it be a breakaway table, please, please. Because it's going to take a lot more force than I can probably generate. But this is a kid that I think can play the high safety, but when you turn on the tape, you'll see more of his plays coming from in the box. He's a good tackler up front. He makes plays on the football. He's an aggressive blitzer. I just think he's a terrific player. And then when he got to the combine, he ran 4.45, and everybody went, whoa, whoa, wait a second. What? They didn't see that. That doesn't mean that he plays slow on tape. They just didn't expect him to run as fast as he did. I think that it helped him. I don't think got him in the first round. I'm not saying that. Like, you know, any good scout is not going to tell you. As a general rule, a blinding 40 times should not elevate you multiple rounds or put you in a place you're not supposed to be. But I think that he immediately goes to a team, plays really well for a team. I just like him a bunch. He's one of those guys that every time I see him make a play, it's not unexpected to me now. But it's not always of the spectacular variety. It's just steady, does everything right, and then lo and behold, he pops the ball free or he takes it away. I just think he's terrific.
Charles, where can we send our audience to support the Charles Davis cause this weekend? You know, we are stands here in D.C. Where can we find you?
We will be on NFL Network and fired up about doing it. Wednesday night, Daniel Jeremiah, the best draft expert in the business, my partner, he has his mock draft show at 8 o'clock Eastern on NFL Network. And then Thursday, we'll be on, you know, pretty much all day. And then our crew come on for the first round. So we'll start an hour ahead of time. But 8 o'clock is the first round.
You got to keep the suit on, the tie all the way up to the collar the whole time? Or like each round on Saturday, do you kind of loosen
a little bit round five late?
I can't because I look like an unmade bed. I mean, you know, I have to try my best to try and hold it together. The other guys, you know, that's entirely up to them. Most of them shed their jackets. The ties stay on, but they tend to shed their jackets. You know, they got good physiques and they're looking nice and the whole deal. I'm going with the covering. All right. I'm wearing the triple X size and drape it over me. And I don't plan to take that bad boy off. No one, the world does not need to see that. Trust
you. You are a good liar. Charles, thank you. We appreciate you. And I tell you, always great to catch up with you ahead of the draft. Means a lot to make some time. I know you're busy. Be good, and we'll be watching you this weekend.
Thanks a lot, guys. Always terrific to talk with you. Yeah, Thursday, Friday, 8 o'clock for us at NFL Network, and Saturday, I think it's noon.
That's right.
Just tune on NFL Network, and me and my crew will be there, and actually the crew is led by Daniel Jeremiah and Rich Eisen, so it'll be fun.
Noon start on Saturday, the three-day extravaganza. The great Charles Davis on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Good information from him. He thinks they go Daniels. Sounded like for him, though, he thinks picking Daniels or Mays a win-win.
It sounds like it. Previous mock he had before he's coming up with his new one, I guess, tomorrow, he had Drake May going number two. That was as of a few weeks ago.
New mock drops tomorrow, he told us, and as you point out, maybe a change at quarterback with that number two pick. Speaking of Drake May, he was actually asked today about the Topgolf experience, about the wacky medium that's become the most talked about pre-draft interview process in history. We'll play the audio of Drake May today talking about his Topgolf outing with the other quarterbacks next right here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are locked into the Fan. Zach Wilson, the number two pick in the 2021 draft to the New York Jets. That's the pick Washington has. Hopefully their selection goes a lot better than the Jets pick did. Wilson has been traded today to the Denver Broncos, which means if you look at the top of the 2021 draft and the quarterback class, Trevor Lawrence is the only guy 3 years later that's still on the team that drafted him. That's amazing. Zach Wilson from the Jets to the Broncos today. Trey Lance from the Niners to the Cowboys last offseason. Justin Fields earlier this offseason, Bears to Steelers. And Mac Jones, Patriots to Jaguars.
Black comes at you fast.
Three of those guys, well, I guess all four of the traded players probably, are backups, right? Because I don't think Zach Wilson would start for the Jets.
But as of right now, he could.
Unless they draft someone. Yeah, you're right.
It's Jared Stidham and Ben DiNucci. May the best man win. You know, let's snap a pool cue in half and have tryouts Joker style.
So Wilson will definitely start over DiNucci, clearly. The competition is him and Stidham. And you're the number two pick, man. They're going to give you a chance to win that.
They'll give you a shot.
I just thought they would possibly trade up for Michael Penix, or if he's there when they pick outside of the top 10, maybe he could go there. Or they could get Bo Nix trading down or something. But yeah, you're right. Maybe Zach Wilson will end up starting for them. Pretty crazy. Speaking of QBs, so Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, and Michael Penix all came to D.C. at the same time, all interviewed together for the Commanders' gig at the number two overall selection. And there's been so much made about the Topgolf outing. Drake May was actually on ESPN's shoulder programming. They've got our guy Kevin Clark, who does an entertaining show on Peyton Manning's platform. May guested with him today, and he was asked about the Topgolf experience.
I actually thought it was one of the cooler events I've been on. I think, you know, we always kind of these different places you go and see, kind of a steak dinner spot, and, you know, just you're surrounded with, you know, the head coach and GM and quarterback coaches, and then the Commanders took an approach of all of us being together and seeing how we interact, and I'm getting a chance to swing the golf club a little bit. I enjoyed it, you know, be around the other guys. You know, got to meet a lot of different guys throughout the process, and a lot of, you know, guys I saw in high school recruiting. I remember Amarius Mims. Yeah. I tried to get him committed to Alabama when I was committed there in high school. Again, full circle. I know JJ well, and seeing Jaden and those guys was, you know, I think it was a really cool experience for me. I think,
yeah,
you know, we all got our separate time with the coaches when we need to. It's not like we didn't do any of that. But Topgolf was just a way for us to get out and do something fun the evening before.
Were you the best golfer there?
I like to say I was. I think I had the best swing, so I think I was hitting it pretty good. So, but J.J. McCarthy was hitting it well as well.
Yeah, okay, good.
Paul was hitting it well. The Iowa tight end, he was hitting it pretty good. So,
but you thought it was a good different experience to kind of meet the guys.
Yeah, they changed it up. I thought it was pretty sweet.
That's pretty funny that not only did he give you a little breakdown on the quarterbacks, but he's calling out random tight end in the 22 players who is swinging it pretty good. But if they're making the pick based on golf, he only named McCarthy. Doesn't sound like Penix or Daniels was putting on a show.
Yeah, it may not be the number one criteria, but maybe it's on a list somewhere. Yeah, I mean, the thing that I kept stressing is that everybody was acting like this was the only thing they did. You know, and that's the part that drove me crazy, where it was like, So all the Washington guys, all they did was they got a couple of an Ubers together and they just went to Topgolf and that was it. That's not, I mean, there were so many other activities. So as he said in there, yeah, there are other conversations. There's plenty of other stuff. But this was in addition to that, a fun thing that we all ended up doing together that was different outside the box. And I'm sure, again, Washington had a reason for it. Something to try to glean and learn. Who knows what it was, what the experiment was or otherwise. I have no idea. You know, we'll have to ask them at some point. But that part always drove me crazy, GP, that everybody was acting like, how amateur hour is this? They had a bunch of limited time with prospects, and the only thing they did was go to Topgolf. I hated that.
Eric Aull, the Iowa tight end, who's got a fifth or sixth round grade, via Dane Brugler of The Athletic, was arguably the best golfer. If you're keeping score, according to Drake May, we now know he was one of the 22 30 visits, as they call them, of the players that went out to Topgolf. Yeah, I just thought there was way too much made about it, right? The first time we'd heard about how they were doing these interviews, you and I spent a lot of time discussing, this is kind of odd. They're having all the guys in at the same time. And I thought it was strange that they were going to have not all of their meetings, but some of their meetings together, sitting shoulder to shoulder, talking to members of the staff. I also then, though, thought it was peculiar that maybe you'd be walking into a room as someone's walking out and you're going to see each other in the hallway. But it ended up that the next day we found out that at least a good portion of the day was spent hanging out, dudes being dudes, bunch of 20-year-old college kids at Topgolf. Cool. It's the end of a really long process. I think if nothing else, it's a good opportunity to evaluate the person more so than the football player. And you're just watching. You've got a lot of staff roaming around, maybe taking some mental notes on what they're seeing, whose demeanor is interesting, or they're liking how the guys interact. I don't think there's anything wrong with the Topgolf outing. I couldn't believe that people took issue with it. If you think it's strange that they have all the guys together because that's peculiar and different, I get that. But for people that actually zeroed in on how dare them leave the facility and have this golf outing and have the guys competing, very, very strange to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good to hear that Drake May was a fan. Shane is in Virginia, has been waiting very patiently. Let's squeeze him in. Shane, we're only 3 days away from the NFL draft. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, Commander Danny and Grant?
Hey,
what's going on is exactly what Danny said. If we don't get a left tackle out of the next, I get quarterback. I think we're going to get Mays. I really do. I think that we're just going to throw him in. That's what we do, this organization. We ruin quarterbacks. So I think they'll mess it up. And, to me, this organization still hasn't done nothing until we start winning. You know, and this draft class is going to make our next 5 years. It is. So we got to come out of here with something in the trenches. Nobody's talking about the defenses. Our biggest need right now, honestly, is a corner. Like, we need a cornerback more than anything. Like, look at our number one corner right now. You saying St. Juice is going to be our number one corner going into next season? If so, then you know what? It's going to be another – we'll be picking number two again next year.
So, it is a massive need, Shane.
It is a need, Shane.
Thanks as always, buddy. Good hearing from you. Here's what I've jotted down in no particular order for their biggest needs. And this is assuming they take a quarterback at two. So this is kind of starting with their next eight picks at 36. O-line, really specifically left tackle, but any O-line help they can get would be a plus. Shane hit that. I still think corner and edge are both massive needs on defense. Now, they don't have nearly as big a need in the short term for an edge rusher because they signed some Jags, basically. I do think they signed one legitimate starter coming over from Dallas, but they have a couple of other guys that are just, Dante Fowler and Clelin Ferrell, who are just dudes. They're just placeholders, basically, with all due respect. So would I love to go high ceiling, pass rusher, 10-plus sack guy there? Absolutely. Start him opposite Dorrance Armstrong, maybe, and you're in a good spot. But if it doesn't fall that way, the corner's a bigger need than edge because you didn't really address it in free agency. Wide receiver, to me, still a sizable need. I would love to bring in an X factor in the second round, maybe even in the third round if there's value in this class, where all of a sudden McLaurin and Dotson's roles change a little bit. And the quarterback that you drafted has weapons. And for that reason, I would throw tight end on that list as well. So to me, there's tiers here. I would say O-line, left tackle, corner, then a gap, then edge, then maybe wide receiver with edge and tight end on that same second level.
I think that's very reasonable. And my philosophy, I think, has bothered everybody. I don't necessarily care about building a complete team this offseason. I think they're too far away for that. I think if you were trying to win the division or trying to be really good, and I know some people can't handle the idea of not trying to be really good right away, but I'm not into a quick fix. I don't think they are either. Then they should be trying to pick out corner, defensive end, and things like that. To me, whoever they pick at number two is the entire thing. So that means my number two need is left tackle. My number three need is wide receiver. My number 3A is a tight end. My number four need is probably another tackle to take Andrew Wiley's place down the line. Once I'm sure that my offense is going to be pretty good this year and great in a couple of seasons, then I can start worrying about everything else. And I know some people think you can have your cake and eat it too. I'm just looking at a limited number of picks and a limited number of offseason slots. They absolutely need to get better at those other positions, but I'm prioritizing the offense first, second, third, all the way down. Until I'm confident that's good, then we could start hitting up the other needs to me.
I think one of the best ways to help a young quarterback's defense. And having a bad one where you're giving up a lot of points and you're getting gashed by receivers and you're chasing games isn't a good thing for a young quarterback, right? See Bryce Young in Carolina. There are other problems for Bryce Young in Carolina. But I think anything you add where you have a huge need and you get better as a football team helps the quarterback, which isn't to say that they don't need weapons for sure. But I think to view like drafting an edge or drafting a corner as not being directly helpful to the quarterback, I would disagree with a little bit. Double plays next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Top of the hour in 20 minutes. We've got Caps Rangers tickets to game three when the Caps come back to DC for the first home playoff game in 2 years, which is awesome. If you want those tickets, you better be listening right at 4 o'clock on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're giving away Caps Rangers tickets in less than 15 minutes right here on Grant and Danny. It is time for our double play, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
Mr. and Mrs. Hooray, we're on the road this weekend, my friend. Went to see some pals in Nashville, which is great. All was awesome. I love Nashville. I don't love going to Broadway, though. That's the like their version of Bourbon Street, but it's all like...
That's the strip. That's where the action is.
Yeah.
That's where the people are.
Yeah, I'm good
where
on
the
that.
The partying's going on.
Yeah, but a lot of the folks I was with hadn't been there, so I was like, okay, we rented a Toyota Highlander. There's a third row. I'll bring everybody over. You guys can see it, and then we'll move the hell on.
You know, Nashville is my number one city in America.
It's awesome. I love Nashville. I don't love that spot, though, but it's good to do one time, and then you probably need a... penicillin shot and some antibiotics and you go about your business.
It's not like New Orleans or Vegas.
It's worse. It's like those places, but like more plasticky and a little bit fake and more. It's like recent country music people that you never heard of that like have a place that they never go to. Anyway, it's not important. But what is important is we experienced the old. Your flight's at 2:00. Oh wait, no, it's not. We didn't get out of there. until after 7 p.m. last night in Las Vegas. So we got to the airport at 12:15 or 12:30 or so. Plenty of time to kill before our normal 2 o'clock flight. And then they did the incremental delay bit. I understand what's happening. It's not just some arbitrary switch that they're flipping to say that you're delayed. I get that everyone's trying to do their best. Still, it sucks. If there was a way to go, hey, you guys, you're here at 12:30. You're not flying out till 7. We know that now. You're not flying till 7. That's way better to me than at 1:48 when nobody's boarding the 2 o'clock flight. Then the announcement, hey, we're going to leave at 2:45. Hey, at 2:25, we're not going to leave until 4. Hey, at 3:40, we're not going to leave. Instead of 4, we're not leaving until 5. Now it's 5:45. Now it's 6. If there was a way not to have that happen where every new announcement is another 35 to 40-minute delay, if you could just give me the real one first, it'd be so much easier to deal with. But I experienced all gate C at the Nashville airport has to offer. I went in everywhere.
Yeah, well,
the bathroom
say,
to
how
the
did
right.
You pass the time.
The bathroom to the right is better than the bathroom on the left. Like if you enter that main C gate, you can go one of two ways because it's like right in the middle. The right hand bathroom.
Did you sit down twice? If you know what I mean.
I certainly did.
Okay.
Yeah, we had the thing. I can't think of a word that rhymes
what
with that.
What kind of thing?
A frequent evacuation.
Okay.
Had to happen a number of times to your pal, which is great, which is an awesome thing to have happen anywhere, let alone at the airport. Wife was disgusted with me, so were some several passengers who figured it out.
Unrelated question.
Uh-huh.
What were we eating at the airport?
So not that much at the airport, because I was already experiencing this. I had some Brussels sprouts, which didn't sit that well. That was pretty much about it. But anywho's.
So you watched the Caps Rangers in the airport?
At the Fat Bottom Brewery Bar at the airport. So every time I'd like bend down to take a Brussels sprout, the Rangers scored pretty much. So I was like, all right, I'm going to stop eating them. Because for those 2 minutes while I was trying to get some Brussels sprouts in my fat face, they scored so many times in such a short period of time. But yeah, so I was there for 7+ hours. We didn't get home until about 11:15, 11:30 local time.
We had a little watch party at the house. It was the first time my kids got super into not the game itself, once it started, they were running around doing
sure,
things.
Sure.
But the idea of having people over. So we ended up literally, it was my brother-in-law.
Uh-huh.
Like my wife's brother came. But we decorated the basement. My daughter helped me. We got all of our Caps towels and playoff towels out, and we put them all over the basement. She rearranged all my, so I collect like sticks, game used Cap sticks. So she wanted to set those up. We set up both TVs, and she was calling the shots on where to put things. And she kept saying, like, Dad, don't you think I'm the best decorator? Aren't you just so proud of what a decorator I am?
Like, yeah.
My son was mostly just breaking things and whatnot, but
uh-huh.
He was super happy as well. They both got face paint. They wore their Caps gear. My daughter claimed, and I quote, this is going to be the best playoff game ever.
Mm.
Now, they lost. At the end
yeah.
of the game, she was like, around barely, you know, but just like in the room, and we got pizza, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're like focused on that. But at the end of the game, she came over. There was about 1:50 to go. And she goes, wait. And she looks at the scoreboard and she goes, do the Capitals still only have one score? And I said, yes.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm already Rick. I mean, I get quiet and angry when I'm watching a playoff game go badly.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, and the bad team has 4? And I said, yep.
Yep.
And she said, oh, this is terrible. And just storms out of the room. That was kind of her commitment.
Yeah, that's
that
right. Yeah, the level of commit.
As good as it got.
Wait.
But I'm going to go post some pictures now at Grant H. Paulson. We had a great little setup. It was kind of the dream day. Of, you know, you think about.
You did everything you could.
When you have kids and you try to get them into the game and they're wearing the right gear. But it was the correct indoctrination. I did have 2018 and I'll always have 2018. But I had a hell of a lot more of yesterday's. Whatever that was, I've had way more of those. So let's kick them in the teeth a little bit.
I've done that one.
Let's let them learn the hard way.
That's right.
2018 doesn't come around very
now
often.
You take your meds first. The sugar comes later.
Yeah. Lots of meds. Meds and mm-hmm. meds and meds and meds, 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 meds,
meds, meds, meds, meds, meds, meds, meds,
and meds and meds, meds, meds. Is that sugar? Nope. Meds.
Meds.
And
meds.
Yeah, a lot of that. But it was a fun time. A little bit of pizza, a couple of chicken wings. Ticken wings, as my son calls
ticken
them.
Wings.
Yeah, we had ticken wings. Ticken wings and tippies and dippies. That kind of day at the Paulson household, man. And a lot of not scoring. That's the important part to remember. A lot of not
so
scoring.
So much of that. Do you need shots for goals?
Do you have to shoot to score? I'm asking for anybody in particular. I'm being told you do. You do have to shoot to score. I guess technically
this.
You don't.
Right, you could just hope.
Maybe the Rangers will just accidentally throw one into their net.
How often do you pass back to the goalie and he's not paying attention? Maybe get one of those. My advice.
I hate the Rangers goal song, by the way. Mm-hmm. I've always hated it, but yesterday particularly, with everyone screaming, it's one of the loudest buildings ever in the playoffs. They come out of nowhere to be very loud all of a sudden. Mm. I hate that goal song. That's all.
No, very reasonable thing.
Hopefully, we don't have to hear it on Tuesday night.
We'll probably hear it again. Shoot the puck
anytime you want.
Do you know what I mean? Just like, what if? Hear me out. Shoot it. Shoot the puck. Shoot the goal. Ready to go.
Whenever you're ready.
Ready to go.
Next, Caps Rangers tickets. They won't be playing that stupid Rangers goal song at this game.
Mm-mm.
It's in D.C. Friday night, game 3. We got tickets for you if you are the winning listener. Next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.